We are in. We've been doing the Yerushalmi on introducing the sugya of Shlakos, and Shlakos goes to the heart of one of those issues that we spent a fair amount of time ruminating on last semester, and by fighting locking horns a little bit with Ephraim over the question of things changing things, and when does that change the bracha? And there is, as we've seen before, a popular notion that somehow if you change the form, no one has the original form, it doesn't keep its original bracha, which I think is wrong. I think there are enough examples that it's certainly not a universally held principle. I much prefer to go with the principle, which is, when does it lose its bracha? When it's an abnormal way of consuming it. When it's an abnormal way of consuming it, so then that's when it loses bracha. So one of the ways you sometimes get to an abnormal way of consuming it is by, you know, by crushing it, by pulverizing it, it doesn't look like it anymore, because that's not how people will typically eat it. But in a circumstance where that's normal, so then fine. But one of the major sugyas that really does deal with this issue is the sugya of Shlakos. Now, this is really a quasi, not say full-length sugya in the Yerushalmi, where you have a parallel in the Bavli, and I hope most of you have not seen the Bavli yet, which is good, so you're not going to be influenced by anything that you've read there. Keep in mind that when we do complete this, when you go do the Bavli, the Mefarshim here are going to interpret, obviously they know what the Bavli says, but they're going to interpret the way they interpret. I think there are cases where it's clear to me the Bavli interpreted the Yerushalmi different than the Mefarshe Yerushalmi did. And again, reiterating the point that I made a couple of times, which is that I'm pretty sure that the Bavli had the Yerushalmi, that the Rift was correct historically, that the Chafteh HaBavli had not only Shitas from Eretz Yisrael, but they might have had something close to the final form of the Yerushalmi, and they are interpreting the sugya. So you have to read, they don't always agree with the Yerushalmi, but you have to read what the Bavli is writing as if they know what the Yerushalmi is saying, and this might be the way they read the Yerushalmi, and in some cases, I think, are apparent in our sugya. Okay, so first, the reason I ask you to skip a little piece is only because the real sugya begins with the second piece, but I want you to see the story first. Because it's going to be a parallel in the Bavli sugya, and it's going to be one of the side topics, important topics that comes up that I mentioned in the email, which is the din of Beria, which is the din that if you haven't done your day, you might not be familiar with, except for sort of from the popular idea that maybe some people don't drink the New York City water unless it's filtered. So there's a special form of Yerodea, Beria, and it may appear in some other places, so the concept is raised here as well. There's something that doesn't have a shear, but it's a Beria. Is that constitute a shear?
That's why I know it's from New York water.
That's why what?
That's the only place I know it from New York water.
New York water. So when we get there, I'll give you briefly, I'll spend time giving you the background and why this matters and kashrus and so on. But the topic comes up here, and it's kind of funny how it's raised. So that's why I gave you the first story of the Yerushalmi. It's not the focus of the issue. It also, this story in the Yerushalmi serves presumably as the source for a quotation later. One of the issues that I don't think we've really touched upon this year, I don't call it an obsession of the world of academic Talmud, is when is a direct quotation, when is an Amar a direct quotation as opposed to an inference or something else. I think what I must have mentioned last semester, that whenever the Gemara says that Had the Ploni Lav the Chlala Lav the Ferishim Ram the Chlala Itamar, it's an assertion being made that the statement that was previously quoted as Amar is not actually a direct quotation. It's something that was inferred from a story that happened, from something else that the person said. And so I think in the case of the Yerushalmi here, well, I can't say for sure, we'll see. And again, sometimes the Bavli will say it's a good inference. Some say it will say, and it's a bad inference. Lohi, it's a bad inference. Here, I think that the inference is clear. So let's start with the story. So, Ronnie, please begin. Starting with Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan, Nasab, Zeta, Ubelech, Lefanav, Ulachara.
Okay, that sounds like a very simple, not that exciting or controversial story. Rabbi Yochanan took his eyes, and he made a bracha Rishona, and he made a bracha Achrona. And that makes sense because he made a bracha Rishona. That makes sense because Asur Le'Hanus Lolam Azevali Bracha, that's Kesem Abracha Aperis. And he made a bracha Achrona, and that doesn't seem to be a surprise because how much did he eat?
A kizayit.
He ate a kizayit. Exactly what he ate. You remember Rabbi Slifkin, you know, in his blog has a page of his share of kizayit, and he has a picture of an olive. Okay? So he ate an olive, so you'd expect to make a bracha. Hushay, make a bracha Achrona. And then, what happens?
Yeah,
so just this you're getting two things. One which you're probably familiar with already is the Aleph often drops at the beginning of Ordinary Shalmi, and you'll note, by the way, that this does tell you something about the pronunciation of the bed. At some point, I don't know what that point is exactly, but I suspect it's fairly early, that it already has the fricative form of V. And therefore, they hear the V in a way that you could write it as Tuvas, which is, remember, the middle of that letter, the middle of that name, Abba, has a dagesh. That's definitely a dagesh. It's got to have it. And nonetheless, they're reading, you can write Chiyabar Abba as Aleph Vav of Aleph. Okay, so Chiyabar Abba, remember who Chiyabar Abba was. He and his brother, Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, and in the Babli, it's Shemin, it's written that way, they were two Babylonians who made Aliyah, and they were never fully comfortable in the culture of Eretz Yisrael. They were kind of like the Yeshivish guys who came to YU when we're hanging around the Hamavasa, Chabura, but weren't so comfortable with it. Okay, let's be fine. Go ahead, so, what happens? He's looking at him, right? Yeah, I mean, we can almost translate this as Sikhan. What are you looking at, Babylonian? Right, he's looking at him, he's eating his eyes, and Rabbi Barab is there, he's like, what are you looking at? He says, continue. Yeah, what's the chiddush here? It's an Aleph, Shiv Saminim. You require bracha yishar bracha achorah, which, by the way, here as a side point, and the Babli will take this, I think, in a different direction. But what does this tell you about the bracha achorah on non shivas aminim? Shemi?
There was none.
We know that we've already discussed that already. We did the sugya last semester where Bar Nefashos, which starts out as a bracha rishona for Rabbi Tarfon on water. Starts first amongst the with generation Amorayim. It starts as a bracha achrona on flesh, or in the fashos rabbos, then morphs to even include other foods and vegetables, and then Ravashi, I think, brings it even into water. But presumably, you don't know for sure, presumably, and it's certainly clear from the continuation of the Yerushalmi, what was the Pri of Arava fixated on? That he said bracha achrona. That was what was bothering Chiyuv Rabba. It wasn't the bracha Rishona, it was the bracha Achrona. So he thought he shouldn't make a bracha Achrona. And Rabbi Yochanan, not understanding what was bothering Chiyuv Rabba, was, well, you know that an Aleph is mentioned in the Pasuk. You might jokingly say, you know, we often say that Eretz Yisrael, especially in the post-Talmudic period, but maybe in the Talmudic period, was more like Western Europe. And Bava was like, especially post-Talmudic, it was like Eastern Europe. In Bava, they learned Bavli. In Eretz Yisrael, that's where the Bavli Masorah were. That's where most of the Piyut comes from, Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael was kind of, you know, in Bava, they learned Torah. And in Eretz Yisrael, they were a little more maskilish. So Rabbi Yochanan figured that Rabbi Chiyuv Rabba came from Bava. He never learned Tanakh. So he didn't know what it said in the Pasuk. That guy was listed as one of the things. So my point is that his response to him is that he's focused on the min. Do you not know that on the Shiva Koshim and Shiva Samini you make a bracha Rishon, a bracha Achrona? As opposed to, in other words, what would Rabbi Yochanan was trying to explain Rabbi Chiyuv, think what Rabbi Barabbas' thought process was. So his point is, all of the Shiva Samini. Now he's thinking that what was going through Rabbi Barabbas' mind, that this is a food you don't make a bracha Achrona. Well, don't you make a bracha Achrona on all food? The answer is no. You only make a bracha Achrona on bread and on Shiva Samidim. That's at least deemed at the Mishnah. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan is a fairly early Amora. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Rabbi Barabba didn't realize that you make a bracha Achrona on this kind of food. And he said, why not? Everybody understands that Koshim Rishon Samidim has a bracha Lefana and Lahara. So now the Yerushalmi explains.
It's also implied in Koshim, right? He says,
any amount. No. That's a misreading. Kol shehu mishiva samidim. Oh, no, I see how you read it. Okay. You have to read it with the right accent. Kol shehu mishiva samidim.
Oh.
Now, it's not, you've taken kol shehu. I don't know when the phrase, that you have to, where is kol shehu first used as a phrase?
Tanon
Tamorayim?
Yeah,
all right, so you have to go back and figure out. I now I understand why you're misreading it that way. I understand what you're reading. you have to first go find out when does the expression kol shehu, as its noun, take on the meaning of, you know, me'uma or mida'am or any amount.
Right.
You have to see where it occurs. Is it only, if it's in the Gemara, is it only in Babli, is it in the Shami as well? But what this phrase does mean, regardless of how you phrase that phrase, is kol shehu mishivas aminim, anything which is from, not any amount, not a kol shehu of shivas aminim, but kol shehu mishivas aminim. So you have the bracha rishona and acharona. So the answer is no. He has. Of course he knows of that principle. So then... So what's the word Sreifa mean?
Arguing?
Asking. It's a question. Right? Umat Sreifa, what is he... I think it's probably the equivalent in the Babli, and you have this word in Yishalmi also, but Bayi. Mayi Bayi Lei. What was his question then? Nay. So shagalinasa mematatu. The word galin obviously is, yes, yeah, same as garin. It's not a surprise. We've mentioned this many times. Lamin and Resh, the liquids that switch. So because the pit reduces the vav, and therefore, as funny as it sounds to say, he didn't have a kazayas. He had a zayas, but he didn't have a kazayas. Okay, so that's what Hirata. So now the Yerushalmi says, oh, it's great lumbus. He was focused on the Matthias. So what is this? So the Yerushalmi asks, the Leslie. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold. It's almost like a rejoinder to Rabbi Yochanan's question. Leslach kosher min shiva. So Yerushalmi asks, Leslie galinato mabatatu. So the Yerushalmi says, Ma avid le Rabbi Yochanan, what is he going to do? The answer is,
Mishum
Beria. Yeah. I know it's the way he read Redway, and what you think is the technical pronunciation is Beria, but it's well documented that in pronunciation that morphs into Beria. It morphs into the Yeshivish pronunciation is a Beria, but in Kisvayad you're going to get the form Beria. It's Piria Viridia. And that is a change in language. It's a natural linguistic phenomenon. So he says, Yishun Birya. So what does it mean, it's a Birya? So as we suggested before, we'll talk about this more when we get to the Bavli and the Mishonim, but a Birya means what sometimes when a living thing is, or a created thing, is whole, you don't need a shear. It gets its own chashivos. Now notice what is Beria being applied to here. That you're not going to think, if you don't know, haven't learned your day, it's not gonna jump off the page at you. Should we?
All about the pit.
Well, yes. What is normally when we think of a Beria, what are we talking about? You know, an animal, not a plant. So we'll talk about that a little. We're not spending a lot of time. We get to the Bible to talk about that. But when in your day, when we talk about a Beria, I don't know what the treifa kula. We're not worried about one chita of tevel in the water. That's a barrier, and that's the problem. We're worried about copepods. I mean, those who are worried are worried about copepods, which is shrach, which is an animal. It doesn't have to only be a sheretz; it could be a bird. Right? In theory, you know, I don't remember right. If you eat an entire bird, a oath tummy, and somehow it's a really tiny bird. That's less than his eyes, hard to imagine that, although it could be an egg in the embryonic stage. So that might be, you might get malchus even though you don't have kazayas of it. Right? So we'll talk about that when we get there. Okay, the beria in Yeridea is always an animal. It doesn't apply to plant matters. And there's a complete whole grain of wheat is not the way we pass it, and it's not a beria.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's also that bird that was emoted from the Mekaradumah.
Yeah.
You had like a tiny bird.
No, but it wasn't that tiny. Okay. Fine. So now the Yerushalmi continues and says, right. So this is like a Zos Omer. So it's what he said. You know, you can infer from this that okay, so the deep that you can make from this, and I don't fully understand, I don't know, what is a pereda?
They said like the very
I don't know why the use of the word by anav. I assume it means you eat one grape. So if you eat one grape, then you have to make a bracha afterwards. And I don't understand the rimon part.
But what is a pirita of an anav?
I don't know.
An anav is a grape.
I know. I don't know exactly. I mean, you can't slice a grape and tell me you're going to bury it, but I'm more puzzled by a pomegranate. You ever seen a pomegranate? You ever cut open a pomegranate? Does it mean one seed in pomegranate? Peidah sounds like, I don't know why I think it means this. Peidah is like a section of. You think of one pomegranate seed?
Yeah.
That's the only unit I can think of. In other words, you know, pomegranate, a whole pomegranate typically has like sections, right? In other words, if you cut it up, you'll have like lobe is the word I'm thinking about. I don't say, so does it mean, so I just know that's a very weird word. By another, it makes no sense at all. And when I think about a pomegranate, clearly you're not talking about the whole pomegranate. Are you talking about only one seed, or are you talking about like one lobe of the pomegranate?
Or one of those sections.
Sections, yeah. What's that? Yeah, right. So then you have to figure out how big their pomegranates were. So I really don't know which part of the pomegranate this means. The grape would seem obvious. I think we assume when it comes to a grape, and a grape fits nicely because a grape, depending on your grapes, could be smaller than an olive. It's within, perfectly within reason. That's right.
How does that mean, grapes on the vision? I mean, our grapes are large, and basically each unit is, you take a whole grape. So you have the small, like, you have for the wine grapes.
Yeah,
they're small.
They're very small. They're very clustered together.
So you'd be eating like pieces.
That's interesting. I don't know what, I still don't know what the unit would be, then it's, but it's more like a pomegranate, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
In terms of the way it's constructed. It could be. Okay.
The anav would be the vine?
No, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. You know, this is conceptually not interesting, but I just want to understand the metzius. Like, I just try to understand, what is the metzius they're talking about? Okay, but I would have thought for us, and I think that's how, Tosus, if I remember correctly, will just assume, he doesn't discuss this, a whole grape. Right, a whole grape would constitute, according to this theory, a beria. So according to Rabbi Elkanan, if you eat an entire beria, that's it. So you make a, not only bracha Yushalmi, that's no surprise, you make a bracha Achronot as well. Okay, so now the Yushalmi continues and says, skip a couple of lines to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi.
Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, the same as you are cool.
Okay, you recognize this statement. Who said this statement?
Shmuel.
I think Shmuel said it. Okay, I'm going to remind you. I gave a drasha this past Shabbos in Silver Spring, where one of the central parts of the drasha had to do with the. Within an Agada that we had learned, Tov Margus, in the first parak, Tov Margus Achas Padiba Shal Adam Mekam Malkios. Who said that? You're not. If you had asked me cold on the street who said it, I probably remember. But I remembered, in this case, it was Rabbi Yosei who said it. And a large part of the drasha was based upon the fact, who was Rabbi Yosei and why do we always postulate like Rabbi Yosei? So I'll share it with you another time. At some point, I'll probably, you know, post it. But for once, you guys have to wait to hear the drasha of the last year. It's given. Okay. So in this case, it's Shmuel who says it. He says that Shemen Zayis will make a boy pre Haitz. Okay. Now, the Babli doesn't even get the comment. It just quotes it. In other words, they want to know why doesn't the question of the Babli, what was the question the Babli had on the bracha on Shemen Zayis? No. That's after the. That's when the Gemara then gets to talk about how are you drinking the Shemen Zayis. But initially in the discussion, what did the Gemara ask? No, I don't think so. Well, so the whole point is that why does it get its own bracha? Like wine got its own bracha.
Right.
And the answer is, wine is more special than olive oil. But it's not about the... In other words, if you're going to say that it's Dishtani Luya, so Shemen is also Dishtani Luya. The point is that Yayin and Shemen are both improved products over their raw products. And the Gemara's answer why they differ ultimately is over how important they are, how chashuv they are. And Yayin is so chashuv because it has A, B, and C, whereas Shemen only has A or A and B, and therefore Shemen just retains the bracha Bari Pre'etz. What the Babli doesn't talk about at all is about is the fact that the Shinoi should strip away a bracha. Right? It talks about Ishtani Le'iluya. You can read the Ishtani Le'iluya in two ways. You can read the Ishtani Le'iluya as it has been improved. Or you can read it as Ishtani, it changed. But it changed Le'iluya, right? I don't think the focus of the Babli is at all on the fact that it's Nishtane per se, and therefore it's not its original thing. It's focused on the fact that it's been improved. Whereas clearly what the Yerushalmi is focused on, that you know by now, is the fact that it's Nishtane, and should that have an impact? So think about it. What happened to grapes? They were Nishtane. What happened to their bracha? Boaz? Careful. It changed. You're making an assumption it went up. Why is it that wine gets a bracha bar priagafen? Is it because it deserves the bracha bar priagafen? Or because it can no longer get the bracha bar creates? Because it's not the priagafen.
But in the hierarchy of brachos, isn't bar priagafen?
If you are reading only the Mishnah and only the Yerushalmi, I don't know. Do you have any evidence to that? The Babli brainwashed you.
Is that why one of the topics is about the Tikkun of Brachos?
No, it's the one of the topics is the Tikkun of Brachos because it comes up in the Sugya, one of the important Gemaras. But my point is, try to read it kind of against a vacuum. So he says you make a Bori Prey 8 on the Shemin. So Amar, go ahead.
Amar Rabbi Yabat Papa. Kumi Rabbi Zeria Umatmika.
Oh, no. So firstly, Rabbi Yabat Papa says in the presence of Rabbi Zeira. And then he says the next three words are
Umatmika Amirake.
That's one way of reading it. I think it's the right way of reading it, but it's not the way that Tanei Moshe reads it. What's the other way of reading it? Shemi?
Umatmika Amirake.
No, that's the way he read it. You just read it with a little more flavor. Yeah? That's correct. That's the other way. The question is, you read it b'nichusa, you read it b'tzmiha. I would have read this, and I think, I didn't do a Bar Ilan search to demonstrate this. I thought Masnisa Amrakein normally means, it's affirmative, it's b'nichusa, the way you read it originally. Take a look. What does the Mishnah imply? So, Uvas Nisa Amrakein, let's read it your way for a moment. Alright, so that's what the Mishnah says, that you make Bori Pre Eitz on fruits of the tree, except for Yayin, which you make a Bori Pre Adafen.
Right.
So, and now, continue. So that's read as a question, that's read as Mitzmiah, but it's not really a question. Is wine not? So actually, this is a, is wine shachuk?
I mean, it's cracked.
So this what?
Have you translated shachuk?
Well, how would you translate it? You tell me.
I mean, we had the jacka three words, like you ground, pounded, or pressed. I think I used all three.
So that's the interesting question. That's not what shachuk is not usually mean. All those three. What is the difference between how a grape is processed and an olive is processed?
Grapes are pressed.
You don't, as far as I know, once you press the grapes, you don't take the rest of the matter and then put it through a mill to grind it.
Is that what they do for olives?
Yeah. First you press them and then you grind them. Now, you get out different, when you grind them, I believe, you get some of the psolas of the olives, which is why probably only the initial pressing is kosher for the menorah. It has to be Shemin Zayizach. But then, they don't want to waste, you know, I think generally oil was much more valuable than wine in the time of the Gemara. It's much more expensive. And you don't want to waste it, so you're going to, and oil also was, remember, I don't know what it is, are there any botanists in the room? Oil is not a fruit juice. You know that because it's not water-based. There is a kind of a water-based in the olives. I don't know if it's the Moel Hayotzim and Azesim or something else, but what you're getting is something unique to the olive fruit, that it's some oil compound. Still is oil. There's no water in olive oil. That is being extracted. So for some reason, in order to get much of it out, I mean, you do squeeze it the way you squeeze grapes, but it's not the same thing that's coming out. you know, and you know that grapes are full of sugar and water. Let's see, it's bad for you that way. Whereas olives, as you know, if you look at the ingredients of an olive container, read the FDA label, and it says, there's only one, when they list carbs, fats, and proteins, there's only one thing that's listed there. Pure fat. It's fat, and an olive is fat and fiber. So that's the question. When you say the yayin lav shochoku, so my first reading of this, but it isn't necessarily the only possibility, is wine not pressed? Even though that's not what the word should literally mean, is it not pressed in the same way that an olive is? Meaning, they're both pressed. I understand there's a slight difference in the processing. And, continue.
Lo amar.
Which is lo amar, Ella.
Oh, lo amar.
Oh, it does. Yes, it does. Anytime you even slightest doubt, I would jokingly say, you know, take the text off of Bar Ilan and replace every space in the Yerushalmi with a space Aleph. Okay? So now every word will start with Aleph. And you can decide which words deserve an Aleph. But yes. Yes. So, Lo Amar, Ella.
Ella, Chutz Min Hayan. Ha She'ar, Kol HaDevarim, Af Alki She'shechokin Hen, Be'ainan Hen.
Yeah. What does that last word mean? Be'ainan Hen?
Safaris and recognize.
They're extant, right? Be'en. You know the expression. Sometimes it's be'en versus balua. So they're still, in other words, even though you grind them up, even though you grind the olives, the grapes up, I'm sorry, they're still considered be'en. So the same thing is true for the olives. So if you make a boy pre-eats on olives, you make a boy pre-eats on olive oil. You should have made a boy pre-eats on wine, except the Yerushalmi doesn't explain there. We can now jump and say, well, yes, because it gets its own bracha. Jake.
Can you explain the difference between the first
mission
and the second mission, the first try, and the second?
So again, he says, Rabbi Chiya Barab says, Masnisa Amarkein. You want me? The Mishnah says, Chutz ben ayan shayan bar priya eitz. V'yayin la shachu, and isn't wine.
Is this all part of the Mishnah, or is this?
No, that's not part of the Mishnah. This is already the explanation of the deal from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that on all fruits of the tree you make a bar priya acceptable. The short form of this deal is, the fact that the Mishnah tells you that wine is an exception to the rule means, had they not made wine an exception to the rule, wine would have been in the category of bar priya. It would have been considered, al peiros ha'ilan mahu omer, bar priya eitz. Chutz ben hayayin. So it tells you Yayin got a special bracha, that Yayin is Peiros Ha'etz, should have had a Bari Pri Ha'etz, but it gets a Bari Pri Ha'gafen. Therefore, you could infer that anything else that's like wine, but just doesn't get a special bracha, like olive oil, because you press them, so it retains the bracha Bari Pri Ha'etz. It's worth noting, by the way, we didn't do this because it's not explicit. I wasn't thinking about this, but the Mari Apanim here, the emotion is like Tosos on the bottom, he points out that it would seem from this Yerushalmi that they disagree with the Babli, or they read like the Baha'i, that all fruit juices retain the bracha of the fruit. Remember, we did that, so again, except Dufsha, the Babli said was Shehakol. So many Yerushalmi said Dufsha means honey of the date, and they give all sorts of reasons what the rule is, why that is, but the Baha'i's position was, no, that wasn't really honey. Date honey, of course you make a very creative to the Baha'i. Fruit juices are like the fruit themselves for the purposes of bracha. So it's not entirely, you know, The simple reading of the Yerushalmi in the absence of anything else, I think the Maripanim is correct, is that all fruit juices are Bari Pri'etz. The exception, only one exception to the rule, which is wine, because that gets its own special bracha. Okay, but we're not going to focus on that part, but everything is the deal. The deal is that if it weren't for the fact that wine is Bari Pri'etz, except for it gets its own special bracha, which means all other fruit juices, or olive oil, which does not get its own special bracha, therefore it retains Bari Pri'etz, and therefore we must nisa amrakei. That is the way I would have read this Shachran Tari in Yerushalmi. I think that's the way that, if I'm not mistaken, the Bal Sefer Haredim reads it.
So then the second part is that even though wine is similarly pressed like oil is, it's still different.
Well, it's only different because the Mishnah gives you it as the exception.
Right. In other words, but even though they have that in common, since the Mishnah excluded it, so it's still...
Correct. That everything else would retain, anything else that's like wine, but not wine, would retain the principle of the Mishnah that you make a Bari Pri'etz. Okay. Fine. Now, how would you read it the other way? That's a little bit harder. So the way, if you take a look, do you guys have the Pnei Moshe? Most of you have Pnei Moshe. So I'll read what he says. He says, Bitzmina. The Chikash, Shemaru, Nasnusa, and Tepkani Chutz, Ben Yayim, Bechulei. So Yayim, Lach, Shofuk, Ben Avimu. Wine is exactly like oil. It's ground out, it's pressed out of the grapes. Varei Nishtana, Berchasam. So he's reading, Masnisa, Amra, King. The Mishnah says, Chutz, Ben Ayayim, Shalyano, Ebriya, Gofem, Yayim, Lach, Shofuku. So that the question is, you see that wine, because you changed it, gets its own doesn't have Boaz the bracha of our priest anymore. It's got to have its own bracha, and if you don't get a special bracha, then presumably you're going to revert to shahakol. That doesn't say. And then the answer is umishani. The answer of the Yerushalmi is lo amar. The rest of it is klomar diyain bovad hotzio somi berchasanavim memei chashivusa. Hashar kol advarim apal pishur shukin hankem operos be'enon hein le'inyan habracha uchemoa priyatzma. That's not the way I think this Yerushalmi should be read. Now we're going to see on round two in the Yerushalmi that's actually a more difficult. It's the same thing, and people want to read the same way, but it's going to be a little more problematic. Okay, so this the Yerushalmi seems to accept that Shem and Zayas, even though it's nishkana. You make the regular bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz on it. Right?
But the Bryce said
Well, that undermines the Pnei Moshe. His reading of the answer, at least, was that no, that wine, because chashivuso gets, it's not that wine has to get another bracha because you can't make the bar creates on it. It gets another bracha because it's chashiv, but otherwise it wouldn't retain the bracha. So the part before, that the chacham holds, you still make the bar creates off and a wine before you mosaic it, that undermines his answer.
Would support the question
though. Yeah, I know, but that, you know, okay, I don't think so. I think that's a different consideration, but okay. Alright. Now the Yerushalmi continues. Thank you, Rani. Shimmy. So we're up to Rabbi Abba Amar.
Rabbi Abba Amar, Rabbi Shmuel Tarvaihud Amrin, Yerek Shalok Omer Alav Shahakan Yerikvara.
Okay, so Rabbi and Shmuel say you have Yerek Shalok. What is Yerek Shalok? What? I want to modify your translation a little bit. Should we? That's true too. That might need to be a little better, but I would say overcooked vegetables. Shaluk means mavushal harde. What?
It's like soft.
Yeah, really, really soft. Like
stewed.
What?
Stewed.
Yeah, right. Like you can take vegetables, and you can, if you take broccoli, you can steam broccoli, and it makes the broccoli, you know, much softer. So it's no longer, you can eat raw broccoli too. That's one thing. But if you take broccoli and you boil it in the water long enough, it's mushy. I would say shaluk is more mushy. Mavushal means it's cooked. Softened. Okay, so now, go ahead. So why do you say shakal yamidvaro? The Yerushalmi doesn't say, but what would you presume? Because it's a shinui. That's what one might have assumed. It's a shinui. The raw vegetable is called borei pri ha'adama. And this is now something different.
Rabbi Zeira b'shem Shmuel, Roshe Liftot, Sheshalchan, im be'ian hein, Omer Alehan, Borei Pri Adama. Shalchan, Omer Alehan, Shalchan, Yevgar.
Alright, so this is kind of interesting now. He says that if you have Roshe Lefasos, which are turnips, I know what a turnip looks like, but now I'm trying to remember. I don't know which part is the Rosh. You have the Roshe Lefasos, and you cook them. So if they're be'en, what does be'en mean? Which is funny, because previously the Yerushalmi was giving you, I'll call a metaphysical definition of whether it's considered be'en or not. Now it's actually asking for a metzius description. So what does it mean if it's be'en?
So it's like a type?
Whole. Yeah, if it's whole. As opposed to, maybe it could be in even some pieces, but it looks like a turnip, but it's a fair definition. So then you make a borei pri adama, which How does that fit with Rav and Shmuel?
Means that the first statement was only talking about when it's not Bahin?
Well, he might be arguing. He might be arguing as to what Shmuel said. Unless you argue that Yereth is somehow different than Lefes. Meaning some vegetables and other vegetables. But Shchakan means you have whether you grind up a turnip or means you like you chop it up into very little pieces. So Shchakan, he says, is Shahakal. Okay, so now comes along Rabbi Yose and he says, now this is complicated now. The Raya looks exactly, however you read the first one, you have to read this way. But what does pas prove? Yeah.
I thought it was proving that grinding it doesn't change the bracha.
Correct. The problem with that reading is it agrees with no one what they said before. Right? Rav and Shmuel said, Yerek Shalach, even just Shalach, you make a shakal. Then Rav Zira comes along named Shmuel and says, well, no, if you're Sholeik, it's the Adama. If you're Sholeik, now it's a shakal. And then, what would appear to be the exact same deal, in either way, it should get to the same place, it proves that they're all wrong. I didn't see this point highlighted. I mean, the Baal Sefer Haredim understands that the Maskana is rejecting all those positions. So it's a little bit odd. I think it's clear that this is what the Yerushalmi is observing here is that how do you make bread? And this is pretty clear. You grind wheat kernels, turn them into flour. You don't get much smaller than that as pieces. And so it's kind of hard to say, you know, the Sefer Haredim points out in the Bavli, and I think we haven't seen this yet, there's a Havamina to distinguish between Pirma Rabba and Pirma Zuta. Big pieces versus small pieces. So a big piece might be Adama, a small piece would be Shakal. And the Maskan is a no. That both of them, did we do this right? Is that on Lamed Chesam and Aleph? Or is it on Lamed Chesam and Aleph?
No, that's
on Lamed Chesam and Aleph. So the Maskan of the Bavli is no. That cutting it very choppy and very tiny is also normal. You do it because it makes it sweeter or something like that. So at the end of the day, you don't get something ground more finely in vegetables as much as you get wheat ground. So if wheat would have been borei pri adama, except that it gets its own bracha of chashivos of borei hamotzi lachem min haaretz, so you see, just because you're shochet the rashi and the pasos doesn't mean they should lose their bracha. Okay. Next.
Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, b'zayit kavosh, omer alav borei pri haaretz.
Okay, so we quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying, a zayit kavosh. What is a zayis kavush?
Pickle?
Yes. It doesn't mean you captured the olive tree. Zayis kavush. When you think about wood fruit trees, parches mochama baltaste, you find the kind of the olive tree. Yeah, zayis kavush means a pickled olive. Now, why? What is the relevance that it's pickled? Because it's inedible on pickles. Let's start with that. It's awful. Raw olives are inedible. So you pick with the olive. Okay. So that's great. What's the issue? It's different. And what you're not pointing out, because this is a Yeridea topic, is that we have a principle in Yeridea, is that Kavush is Kimavushal. The Rishonim, the Mepharshim introduced that. Now, it's not actually a perfect analog. It's not a perfect analog. What does it mean when we say in Yeridea, Kavush Kimavushal? We say, by the way, maliach kiroteach and kavush kamavushal. Maliach means if you salted it heavily, that's like roteach of tzli, like you roasted it. Two things together. Kavush, if you pickle it, it's like you cook two things together. Boaz? That's correct. In Yeridea, it doesn't mean that kavush has the din of bishul, it's that it transfers flavor like bishul. which for most of your idea, most of Hilchos Tarumos, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the flavor transferred. It transferred and you're tasting the trade food. There's only one place in Yerudea that Kavush is not the Mehushal, at least the Daraisa. And that is by Basar B'Chalav. Basar B'Chalav has to be Lo Sev HaShel Gedi B'Chalav Yimel. If you pickle, if you let the meat soak in the milk, there's an Issah D'Rabbanan, there's no Issah D'Araisa needed. Because even though Kavush is the Mehushal, it doesn't mean it has the din of Bishal, it means it transfers flavor like Bishal. I mean, D'Araisa, you're only not allowed to milk the meat if you actually cook them together. Now, for our purposes, so they invoke Kavush Kamavushal, but it's in a certain sense a melitza. It's not about Kavush Kamavushal normally means flavor transfers flavor from A to B, like cooking from A to transfers flavor from A to B. What it really means here is that just as Mavushal, like Shalom, softens, it's Nishana, so too Kavush should be treated the same way. You're puzzled.
Okay, so it doesn't always change the text, because you don't necessarily get softer all the I don't know
if you're
about
olives, but there's like
cucumbers.
Yeah, it's true. It doesn't change the texture. It does change, well...
It doesn't change much, really.
Right. It does. It's very good in imparting flavor.
Yeah.
Right, which is kind of interesting that they... and by the way, the same thing is by Maliach Goroteach as well. Right, Maliach, what's the... What's that?
When you said that salted versus smoked roast thing, I was thinking...
No, so, in order to constitute maliach to be korotech, and you're there, it has to be enol nechal mechmas milcha. There's a whole discussion exactly what that is, but right now it's inedible without amount of salt. Like you really have to wash it or soak it to get it out. So it is partially in the way to preserving it. So if you pickle two things, if you've salted two things together that sit with one another, the assumption is that there's a flavor extraction transfer and so on. So it's kind of interesting to use that analogy here. But that's what the Mepharshim said. Okay, so that is Rechiah bar Abba said in Rabbi Yochanan. So just until this point, what is the tally of Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael? Who goes in what direction? There's a reason I ask, but I won't tell you the reason. But you'll answer the question anyway.
In everything you wrote, or just about
Yerech Shaluk?
It looks like in Bavel they think it's loses the bracha while it keeps it in Eretz Yisrael.
That's the direction in which things lead. Next. Go ahead, now continue.
Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Yerech Shalach Omer Alav, Shehat Kol Yemin Varo.
So that's very much like Rabbi Shmuel initially quoted by Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So he quotes Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet. Who was Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet? He was the guy who was too busy in the library exploring things, so he missed a lot of the stuff in the basement. That's what the Yerushalmi is about to say. I should say that I'm reading a little bit of the Bavli into the Yerushalmi here. Okay, they're similar. So Rabbi Ben Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan said it's Shahako. So Amar.
Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amachita Messiah, Rabbi Yochanan bar Yefes. Aval lo kvushin v'lo shulukin v'lo mulushan. In ba'in hein adam yotzev ani v'echvat ha'en.
Okay, so he says that there is a brisa that is mesayeh to Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes. And what does that brisa say? Firstly, what is the aval here? It's very easy to misread the aval. What?
It's part of
the brisa, part of the Mishnah. And the aval, it's not that there's a Mishnah that sounds like Rabbi Yamin Yefes, but Avol, no. Avol is the opening line in the Mishnah. Mishnah said, you Yotze Imara with this, in this form, Avol, lo, not if the Mara was, Kavush, Shalach, or Mavushal. And therefore, what's the Raya? If when you're Kobe something, or you're Shole something, it's still Be'en, it's still considered the original thing, it's still considered, you know, the Marorim, the vegetables. So, why is a person not Yotze Yedei Chavasa Mepesach? So from this you see that once it's Kavash or Shalach or Mavushal, it's no longer the end. That's why you're not Yotze Mitzamar, and that's why the bracha would be Shahak.
It's interesting that you want the Pesach again, because we used bread by Masa and its properties in prior discussions also as a paradox, what we call we do to bread properties. So here about vegetables, I'm basing that on maror also.
No, but the bread previously had nothing to do with chametz. You can make matzah and chametz the same way.
No, I'm saying not today. I'm saying just like in the Bavli, the way it related right on the bread.
When we were talking,
Was it there or was it later on the test?
Oh, was it on the top of Lamed Zion and Aleph?
Remember, Rashi was called a Suga, and those are even called also a Pesach.
Right, and you would have thought maybe it's not Nachamoni.
Yeah, no, they also put it in the
on Lamed Pesach the base.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm purposely avoiding talking about that because they use Matz instead of Mar. And that happens to be a very that particular citation in Gemara happens to be really important for a major issue in Hilchos Shabbos. But you can't prove anything from this Mishnah, you can only prove the Mishnah by Matzah. Now, I'm going to tell you what the sheep is. We're not going to tell you anything about it until we do the Bible, then we can talk about it. Are you allowed to dip your matzah, put your matzah in your soup? The soup is now on the table at Saint Eklisheni. Are you allowed to put the challah in the chicken soup?
Challah.
Oh, I don't mean gebrachs and pesach. Sorry, I didn't mean to set you off. No. Are you allowed to put your challah in the chicken soup? Yeah. It's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. Ideally, if it's a cliche, you're not supposed to do it. The famous shita of the Yireim, Rabbi Tam's Talmud, Rabbi Lezer Minetz, who said that there is bishul acharafia. And since the bread, bishul achar tzli, and since the bread is baked, tafi and tzli are essentially the same thing. It's dry heat cooking. It's supposed to be in a liquid. He said that you're not allowed to put it in hot liquid because that would be bishul achar afia. We say in bishul achar bishul, yes, in afia achar afia, but yesh bishul achar afia. So we're not going to. This is we're almost there. When we get in the Bavli, it's based upon another mishnah in Sacher. And we'll talk about it. Because the Rabbiya is going to use our Gemara in the Bavli to blow the uranium sheet at smithereens, and he does so correctly. It's almost no response to it. It's such a crushing raya. But anyway, so all right. So coming back here, so the raya is that you're not yotzei moror when with these things, because obviously it's the shtana, it's not be'en anymore. Okay. Does that sound like a good raya to you? I see there's Machmoik Asrani and Ishani here. Okay, continue.
Amar Rabbi Ha'ira, Man Yada Mashma Amin Rabbi Yochanan, Yevet. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Al Rabbi Yevin Yom Bar Yevet. No, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba.
No.
Okay.
Lo Rabbi Chia Bar Abba?
Oh, okay. Lo Rabbi Chia Bar Abba.
In other words, who knew how to learn? Who heard better from Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Bar Abba or Rabbi Yamin Bar Yechas? Meaning, who are you going to trust here? Now the assumption right now is that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yamin Bar Yechas and Rabbi Bar Abba as to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Even though Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, Rabbi Bar Abba was talking about an olive and Rabbi Yamin Bar Yechas was talking about a yarek, the assumption is that the din is the same, which is in principle, correct. Put differently, cooked fruits and cooked vegetables fundamentally should be treated in the same conceptual model. If you think that shinui automatically eliminates the original bracha, then it will be the same. If you believe that shinui does not automatically or does not ever, you might, two different ways of seeing it, change the status of the bracha by one, it shouldn't change the status of the bracha by the other either. That's what one would expect. So, yes, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba gave an example by olives, and Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes gave the example by Yerek Shalok, but the assumption is the two contradict one another. Now, who, assuming they do contradict one another, who is definitely right? And why? Shimmy?
We know that that Rishi Baraba is right because we know we say hey, it's on olives that are pickled and
yeah, that's not right. It's working backwards, right? Yeah, the story earlier. Rishi Baraba cannot be wrong. Yerushalmi tells the story earlier. Right? It doesn't tell us from Rishi Baraba quoting. Yerushalmi says Rabbi Yochum's email made a bracha Rishon Achrona, and Rishi Baraba was staring at him. Yes.
That's what is by Raul, because otherwise there would be a better reason to have questioned his actions.
What?
If it was public, then there would be a better reason to explain the difference between him and Rishi Baraba.
If it were Raul, he would have a better reason to be staying at him.
Yeah, it seems to me that people didn't eat raw olives. You know the Rashba corrects the Yerushalmi, and there's no other way to read the Yerushalmi. It's not true. This is not true. We know it's not true. Olives haven't changed in their substance that much. They're inedible raw.
And people are hungry and they don't want to go through the effort of pickling.
I think you would rather go hungry than eat unpickled olives. They're awful.
I don't like olives in general.
In the sheer tasting when we have it eventually. We're going to eat regular pickled olives. He's going to eat raw. Okay. Fine. Anyway, my point is that the story with Rav Binyamin Bar-Abba's statement is almost undoubtedly correct. So either Rav Binyamin Bar-Abba is wrong, he's mistaken, or you're going to have to somehow explain some type of a chiluk. Which will be suggested later in the Yerushalmi. So the next part. So first, the Wazir says, "Who knew Man Yada Mishma Amin Rabbi Yochanan Yeus?" Yeus is the Targum of Cain, means straight Yasha, correctly. Who heard better? Who knew how to listen? Who understood his shiurim better? He says, "Uchibar Abba Yochanan." Yes, of course, Uchibar Abba did.
Ve'od
min hada, which means
from this.
From this, there's another proof that Rechi Barab is correct from the following. Okay. So, we saw Anan Chanyan, we saw Rabbanan Rav Revaya, the big rabbis, the Gedolim. Olun la'avrayasa. La'avrayasa is not an easy word. What does Olun mean? Ooh, take the knife out of my back, please. Means to enter. Enter. Oh, in Aramaic means to enter. They entered le'avrayasa. The Primosha translates, the word doesn't appear anywhere else, at least anything like this I searched, I couldn't find. Le'avrayasa is le'avra, to a suda. I mean, it's some place that you ate. And the only other possible meaning, but doesn't make so much sense in this context, le'avrayasa would be like the outside, the garden. As in Baraisa, Bar, because if you went out to the garden, then your termusim would be raw. Because if you pick your lupines from the garden, and lupines are toxic when they're raw, they have to be cooked and cooked and cooked and cooked and cooked and cooked to be rendered edible and safe. So they would take termusim at this havra, at this suda, and they make a bar priyadama. So this is Maserav. Not only Yom Yafis didn't hear things straight, and Rechiv Rabbi did, but in addition, we have Maserav. Yeah. Aren't they? I mean, they're the quintessential Yurako shlokos. Because you can't eat them otherwise.
What are they?
Lupines? Yeah, I think it is a legume family of some kind. Yeah, I've never seen them in the store, but I think they do exist. They are probably available.
The Wikipedia said it was a Mediterranean thing. They're existence in Egypt and like heavily pickled or whatever,
because
their natural taste is very bitter.
Right. That's why the Gemara gives the example, I forget which Masechta talks about, like termusim, you have to roast them seven, you have to sholeik them seven times, fill out the water in between this. I forget where the Gemara has that idea, but it's about a termus that they say that. You know what it is?
I think there's something in Shabbos, I don't remember why though.
Okay. Anyway, so. So bottom line is that you see that shlokos you make a bar priyadama. Now here's the part you have to read very carefully. I do not like the Pnei Moshe's reading at all. I think the Sefer Charedim is reading, which is the Rashba, And the Rashba is going to amend the Yerushalmi here, because it has to be that way, and I think he's right. So, he, continue.
In
Tamar Masnisan, question mark. You're going to say, ah, oh, but what about the Mishnah? Are you not Yotze with Mara when it's Shalom Kavash Mahushal? The answer is?
Shanyahi.
Shanyahi? No, that's a different case. Why?
Shamaratorah Mororin.
Shamaratorah Mororin. So what does that mean? Yeah.
Better.
Yes. The reason why you're not Yotze is not because the vegetables aren't be'en. It's not because they're not Yerakos anymore. It's because the Torah says, Amatzo Sumerin Yochlu. And when you're shown like bitter vegetables, what happens? They become less bitter. I mean, I don't know exactly what they had in mind, because I will tell you, all of the Marars, that I just don't know the Metzias there. What are all the Marars in the Mishra, basically? You know what they are? All five kinds of Marar? They're all forms of
leaves.
Well, yeah, they're green leaves of vegetables. Right? And we've spoken about this before. You can't use horseradish for mara. You might be able to use the leaves of the horseradish for mara, but not the root. Now, you know what happens when you put hot water on lettuce?
Shriveled up.
Awful. So I don't know. It might also lose its bitterness. I don't know. But the bottom line is you can't cover shalach from a bushel. You can't use it, not because it's not a bori prihad dhamma. You can't use it because it's not maror anymore. So therefore, that doesn't tell you anything about the bracha. That just tells you about mitzvah maror. And therefore, it's not a question against the clear sheet of Rav Yochanan and the Rabbanan Rav Ravaya, which is that you make a borei pri or adamon even though it's shlach.
In the Torah, it was legislated to eat korban pesach with.
You can ask me a pshat question there.
Is that definitionally bitter? Like in the Haggadah, it's assumed that that's because I'm not a real Chayim Pan, so we eat something.
I can't tell you Pshuto Shomeka whether it's definitional, but the reason why you think, do you think lettuce is bitter or sweet?
Like romaine?
Romaine.
It's not bitter.
Right, you know why it's not bitter? Selective breeding. If you want to taste bitter, doesn't mean that you can get romaine leaves that are occasionally bitter. Go to the supermarket, and you can get something like chicory, and you can kale. You have to have the fortitude to eat. I do sometimes eat it raw, but chicory is like a lettuce. But you'll taste. It's not that it's unpalatable. You can taste why it's called morelin. So I don't know whether truth or shemitah, but it had to be bitter. It could just be that it's like you're having a shawarma, so you want some, Israeli salad with it, plus the meat, plus the matzah, the lafa. It could be, but Chazal understand, they link, obviously, the idea of the Rorin to Vayimaru Eschayehem, and therefore they require the mitzvah of Maror that actually have some... Yeah, the question is, why could we use romaine lettuce today? So I think the answer might be is that there are varying degrees of bitterness, but anything you do to process the lettuce that would then remove its bitterness, that would be no good. Okay. I thought that my wife has told me it's pronounced Andit. Yeah, I know. I'm just telling you because I made the same mistake. So Andit, I think. So anyway, so yeah, that's another kind of lettuce.
It's much more bitter.
Because it's not so popular, so it hasn't been selectively bred to the American palate, to do away with anything of complicated taste and something that's not sweet. So, anyway, so that would be the simple read. That's the way that the Rashba and quoting the Sefer Haredim read the Yerushalmi. And now they say, Termusin. Right, so that's not an easy line to read just in this context, but what it means is that. Turmasin, then when you show like them, the merirus is betela. That doesn't mean the bracha changes. It means if lupines, which should not fit under the category mara, they don't look any like mara. If you could use them for mara, you wouldn't because they would have lost their bitterness. Okay, so now comes along Rabbi Yosef ben Abban and he says,
Velo
pligan. There's actually no argument there. Who's not arguing? How would you read it? Yeah.
Rabbi Yosef ben Abban.
There's no machlokas. Okay. And now go ahead. Zayis. You got to amend this. We're going to amend this. Friday may not be happy at the Rosh Bar amend this, but I think you have to. Zayis ayidei she'ein.
She'ein darka lechochai. Ahapi shekavash be'enuhu.
Right. Since you don't normally eat an olive raw, therefore, even though you've changed the form, even though you pickled it, it's still the end.
Right.
Okay, but vegetables, which apparently would be darko lechochai, once you show like this, it's nishtam. So what the Yerushalmi is introduced in this last line, all of a sudden, is a 180 degree. I'm not even sure it's 180 degree. It's like a 90 degree turn. We've totally turned away from everything we've been talking about now. What was the conceptually? What was the issue with shlakos? Why might they lose their bracha? Because it's not the N anymore. It's not the original food. It's gone. You had Pri Adama. You transformed it into something else. Therefore, you can't say Bar Pri Adama. However, what has the Yerushalmi potentially opened the door to doing now? But we have to actually, we're going to see when we get him up to a machlokas that we've shown him, there are two ways of opening this door. And they're not identical. But you can pick either one. What would you say now? Derech Achila. Now, Derech Achila could be taken in one of two directions. Direction number one is, whatever's Derech Achila is when you get the bracha bar pri adama. If you eat it shelo kedarko, it's shahakol. The alternative, which is a more limited version, is to say that if it's nishtaneh, then if it's darko lechol that way, it retains the bracha. If it's not, it loses the bracha. But what if it's not normal to eat raw, but you ate it raw? What would the din be then? So there might be that it still retains the bracha. It's bar pri adama, starts at, you know, people don't normally eat it that way. Then when you transform it, since it's normal to do it that way, it's face bar pri adama. Whereas if it weren't normal, normally you eat it raw and you transform it, well then it's nishtana and it's not its normal form. Okay, so we will come back to that. But this is the presentation of the Yerushalmi. How many of you have seen the Sugya of the Bavli so far? Excellent. Because if you haven't seen it, you are approaching everything with an open mind. So we will, not tomorrow, Sunday will be the kiss. I think we're going to be getting the second parrot. And Monday when we resume Iyun, so we will start the Bavli. You can go through let's just go through the entire sugya. It's almost the daf. You start on top of Lamech Ches on the base with Shlakos or they quote Pas or something. And you'll go until Pasach Tzenumakar on the bottom of Lamed Tes on the Aleph. And as you read through the Bavli, read carefully. Don't read something that's not there. And then think about how this conforms or doesn't conform to the Yerushalmi.